Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio presents OPA number 152. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting to my left is Ken Phillips. What is up, good sir?
Hey, 2020, I guess. It's a new year. That's something that has come up since the last time we recorded.
A new decade for Stunt Granny to pioneer with their podcasting ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of crazy that some form of us have been doing this show for over a decade now. Like, and it's kind of weird when I think about, shows that we listen to, like Comedy Bang Bang, have been around in the same amount of time.
Right.
And I'm just saying, haven't quite gotten the same acclaim.
Well,
might be a quality problem.
It could be, you know, a quantity. We've gotten some praise, I would say. Perhaps not the same amount as, say, a press as a Comedy Bang Bang or a How Did This Get Made? But, you know.
Yeah. It has existed for that long. There's something to be said for that. Longevity is something.
Right. I just am doing this for myself personally, and I hopefully listeners get something out of it as well.
But, yeah, I mean that's pretty much what it is. Self amusement is definitely high on the list of what this is now.
But another new thing is the microphone here that we're using tonight. It's an upgraded microphone. I'm not sure if our listeners will be able to detect a difference from the past episodes.
Yeah, there is certainly one listener that we would hope, Josh, that will actually inform us of such things. But yeah, this has recorded actually the last couple of episodes of the regular Stunt Granny Audio show, so it is not a virgin microphone for OPA here, but yeah, I do hope that it provides a better sound, and yeah, there are still other upgrades hopefully on the way here at Stunt Granny HQ, and that's all that I can. Well, actually, something that is an upgrade for, and maybe we'll have to IG it, as the kids might say. The new OPA podcast t-shirts.
Oh, right.
We might need to make those available for sale.
We could probably arrange something along those lines.
Oh.
Yeah, we got one of those Cricut maker machines, which is kind of like a I want to say like a CNC machine, but you cut out like little vinyl. You can, it hooks up to your computer, and you can give it like a path to cut out, and it'll, you know,
cut it
do
out
whatever you say. Yeah. So that was pretty neat, and I think those shirts turned out pretty well. So I can see other people being interested in those. You know, they look pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's some good stuff. So yeah, new decade for Stunt Granny, and maybe turning a new leaf, you know, going above and beyond the Call of Duty. It is nice being able to provide some upgrades to the studio, which I do hope improves quality overall here.
Yeah,
that is 100% a goal.
I would say that's the main reason you would do something like that.
Well, Ken, unfortunately, we did not get to watch, quality football down the stretch.
Mm.
Unfortunately, because of the holidays, went, radio silent, as the, Pittsburgh Steelers, season, went out with, a bit of a whimper.
Yeah, that's fair to say, Kevin. At times they seem like they legitimately could somehow make the playoffs throughout this season, but they were not able to put that together over a season. I think teams could kind of key in on the weaknesses, say, of a Duck Devlin, you know, Duck Hodges or a Mason Rudolph, and they were not able to overcome those adjustments.
You know, I do think that there's a possibility that had Mason Rudolph not gotten hurt, because did he come in the Jets game and get hurt?
I do not recall.
I'm trying to remember which game he got hurt in, because I think it was the Jets game, because I think Duck threw a couple of early INTs in that one too, and they decided to pull the plug. And he actually provided a spark. You can definitely tell that his he has a better arm than the Duckster does.
Yeah.
I still think that he was having some pocket problems, where he was not, you know, like, I think he hit a helmet, again, you know, like, he doesn't have that, and we'll get to it later, Tom Brady, like, you know, just kind of shift a couple of steps in the pocket and then fire the ball, you know, like, he's big enough. And that was the other thing they always talk about, you know, since he's 6'5", I believe. And Hodges is only 6'2", only.
Right.
As if that isn't magnitudes taller than I am.
For a normal person, that's pretty tall, I'd say.
Yeah.
Taller than me, so. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the 3 inches does make something of a difference. And I felt like maybe if he had finished out that Jets game, they would have won it had he not gotten hurt again.
Yeah, Rudolph, I kind of forget about, but he got beat up pretty bad this season overall. I was reading about his the last game of the season, he broke some kind of bone in his shoulder, maybe? Or...
Oh, yeah. Maybe you didn't see that play, but yeah, when he came in... And this part killed them, too. There were just some bad snaps at the end of the year. That, because what's his name was in for Pouncey, I believe. BJ Finney. And he kept on snapping the ball low. And it kept on being a problem. And that happened to Rudolph. And he was going to hand the ball off, but he was having... you know what it was? A lineman stepped on his foot and he fell. And he was supposed to hand it off. And he went to get back up to try and, like, pitch the ball. And the defenders came in and all landed on his left shoulder.
Ouch.
Yeah, it looked... I'm not surprised that that happened. Like, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Just because they land on their non-throwing shoulder a lot.
Right, from getting tackled.
Yeah, from getting tackled and sacked.
The front arm would be going forward, but yeah, it's... true. It's I think they try to prevent that by rules against you know, landing with their weight on the quarterback, say for you know, roughness penalties against the quarterback, but obviously that can still happen very easily.
Yeah, you can do a proper tackle and still have that same thing happen. I would imagine.
You know, I hesitate to go on a tangent here, but I just you know, it reminds me, you know, or puts us again in the territory of talking about kind of safety issues in the NFL and, you know, what can be done to kind of, like, try to make the game to be less, like, brutal and kind of costly physically. I was reading an article about Ron Gronkowski. It sounds like he's, you know, in pain a lot of the times. He's working for some shady CBD company. I don't know. Allegedly. I guess I don't know if they're shady or not. But I had an idea of, you know, instead of tackle football, it's like flag football, except it, like, explodes into, like, chalk explosions whenever you pull the...
when you pull the flag
on somebody. Something to make it, like, visually interesting, you know, for television. I feel like if we could figure that part out, we could sell flag football to the American audience.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to replace the NFL, I guess, though.
You're skeptical, like, I'm skeptical of my color explosion football idea.
Oh, I 100% think that that could be valid. Like, there are so many things on TV. If that were a thing on TV, like, I would not be surprised. And it would be kind of fun, I guess. It would certainly give you a little more visual interest during a flag football game.
Right. I mean, just pulling some flag off a, you know, like a handkerchief off somebody's belt is really not the most visually interesting when you're competing against, like, someone flying through the air and, you know, slamming into somebody. So, it's I'm just trying to think of, you know, a little outside the box here, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they do keep on having Jerome Bettis in his flag football game commercials. So maybe that's why you're thinking about ways to improve flag football.
Yes, Jerome Bettis may be laying the groundwork. I'm sure he's dealing with some pain issues these days just from all the punishment that he received and put out, I would say, over the years. It's has to take a toll.
I don't think there's any way around that. Yep. You know, like, they've tried to cut down on what they can cut down on. I still think that there are some times where guys just make some boneheaded plays.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know if, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, there are a lot of times where I even question their motives, I guess, but that's not something that you can really question just because you don't know them. Like, there are a couple of times where I've seen some headshots that look so intentional. It's like, how do you not know, though? Like, I guess now I'm arguing against myself. You know.
I'm just sitting back with a box of popcorn, enjoying the show.
But yeah, I do think that I do not think it's a bad thing to try and cut down on that, but I do think that that's part of the draw too, you know, and kind of most of the sports, there's kind of a physical toll aspect to it. Because, I mean, even baseball players talk about it. And, I mean, that is definitely the least contact-heavy. But you have people like catchers squatting down all the time, and, like, their knees are shot when they're older.
Right. Or pitchers whose arms are messed up after pitching, you know.
Yeah, because I believe that's the most unnatural throwing motion, basically.
The way
that you come down is, I believe, is what kind of helps put strain on all of your extra ligaments, you know, like, because, like, with the javelin or something, you're releasing it kind of at a higher point, so you're not straining things as much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's even the type of throw, because I believe, like, a quarterback's throw is slightly different. You know, because...
More javelin-like,
I think. Yeah, it's more javelin-like because they want to be releasing it high so it's not as hard on their shoulder, which was why it was kind of interesting that, you know, Roethlisberger had the Tommy John surgery, because that usually is, like, a pitcher's injury. You know, I mean, it was the surgery's literally named after a pitcher who had it first done. So, it's not very common in football. So, that honestly just obviously started a very bizarre year to kind of round back to the Steelers in general. Mm-hmm. That started, it's week two, wasn't it?
When Roethlisberger got injured, yeah.
Yeah.
Two or three.
It might have been three.
Yeah.
But, that was one where as soon as I saw that, I'm like, that's not good at all. Like, like a non-contact injury is like one of those things you're just like, oh, that is terrible news.
Yeah, that didn't seem like it was going to be good. And turned out he was missing the whole season. But
pretty much. Which brings us back to the, Duck versus Mason. And it also kind of brings us back to an article that you decided to link to.
Although, we don't know how, Roethlisberger's going to be when he returns. He wasn't necessarily lighting the world on fire, to be honest, in those two games or two and a half games that he did play in this season. So it does kind of leave you wondering a little bit about the future of the Steelers at quarterback. And there is another quarterback who rumors swirl that he may be available as a free agent next year.
I think we'd be remiss in the lead up to this one to not say that there has been some speculation that needed to be refuted by Roethlisberger himself that he's working towards coming back this coming season.
He is working towards coming back.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there were some reports out there that said that he was perhaps going to be retired.
So, yeah.
So, if Roethlisberger if he were to retire and things do not go as well as he's planning, it would be pretty wild to see Tom Brady in black and gold.
That was the position taken by this article that according to a sports betting site, you could bet on Tom Brady ending up with the Steelers.
And there were odds for a number of teams, and they did even say that Pittsburgh was not the most likely destination.
Which the most likely was Cleveland, which I'm not sure if that really makes sense to me. Why would Tom Brady want to go to play at Cleveland? Like, that just seems insane to me.
I would hope that Brady would know better. And to me, it just was one of those things, too, that, like, for the Browns, I'm like, why does this make sense? Like, I know that Mayfield...
You're gonna have to pay a lot
of money. I know that Mayfield didn't have the best year, but I don't know if he's worth throwing into the trash bin yet.
And especially because I imagine... I don't know. Maybe I'm not... Well, I'm not sure about their contract situation there, but... If they just got rid of him, I think they would end up still eating some cap space there. So I don't know if it makes necessarily a good deal of sense, like you say, since he really wasn't that bad necessarily to make a big move at quarterback that's going to cost your team a lot of money anyway, because I'm sure that Brady's going to want a payday here. That's my theory.
Yeah, and that was the only thing to me that did not make him much of a logical fit for Pittsburgh. Like, I'm not quite sure how they fit him in under the cap, because I believe that even if someone retires, you still pay part of their salary. So, I mean, I think Big Ben would be on the books still if he retired.
Usually it's if there's, like, they will, like, amortize the signing bonus over the course of the contract, so, like, split it up each year.
But
if someone retires, then it's like a hit all at once that you have to kind of take.
To me, that's... I'm sure there's some workaround. Or else these people wouldn't even at least be putting them in for odds to pick him up.
Right. I believe, 25-1 odds that the Steelers would land Tom Brady. At least that's the betting.
And it was 5-1 odds for the Browns.
Although 25-1, there are, you know, more than 25 teams in the NFL, so it seems better than random chance that they could end up as a Steeler. Slightly better than random.
And it would be one of those things that, to me, if Brady's looking at things, why would he not want to come? The defense should be pretty much the same makeup next year. I think everyone's under contract. Maybe some of the lower... I believe Mike Hilton needs to get a new contract. Bud Dupree needs to get a new contract. I think those are the two bigger pieces.
I was just thinking, if Cleveland would get Brady, do you think that he would have a say in, who the coach was? Or I think they might get the coach first, though. Weird can of worms there.
Yeah, and there's, I guess there's been some interesting questions about whether the Rooney Rule is being followed recently or not. Was something I did. I can't say I've read either of the articles, but it is something that popped up on my headlines at some point.
That doesn't sound too great.
No. But I guess, what do you think the odds? Do you think that it's even realistic to think that Brady is coming? Because don't you have to get rid of Roethlisberger in one form or another for Brady to come here?
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. If both of them on the same team doesn't...
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah.
Because that's it. I remember...
Tag team, they're going to be... they're going to share the...
they're going to share the load.
They're going to put, at the end of the season, they'd both be holding up the trophy again.
They're each going to do one drive, one drive, one drive, one drive.
I think so. That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, I don't think they would switch out in the middle of the drive. That would just be crazy. Although they could do that even. All right, let's go there, Kevin. In our fantasy version...
They're just
going to switch out, play to play. a running back by committee.
Quarterback
by committee.
I think that there's some type of rules against that.
Really?
Yeah, because if you were...
I think if you go to your third string, you're not allowed to go back to, your first string or something like that.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But... I think you should be able to switch between your, starting and backup quarterback. But I don't know. I'm not a rules expert by any means.
I guess it's always because that they can substitute it. Well, a lot of the times the quarterback is still on the field. The quarterback himself almost never substitutes in those plays. Right. You know what I mean?
Because they have to give the play in. For them to come in, we'd be wasting a lot of time. So that's probably impractical. All right. You poked a hole in our little idea there, I guess.
I guess I did forget. There is some rule. That's why they pretty much are on the field most of the time. Is a decoy or something like that.
A decoy?
I feel like sometimes... and I'm trying to think about mostly... New Orleans Saints use that Taysom Hill. They bring him in at quarterback sometimes, but I believe that 99 out of 100 times he runs it. But I do think that he has thrown a handful of passes. And one of them might have even been back to Drew Brees.
Oh. Yeah, that, I feel like that happened in another game over the weekend, wildcard weekend. What team was that? the quarterback caught a touchdown pass. Anyway, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was, kind of funny. Someone, cause who was that? Oh, yeah, the Patriots lost, didn't? Yeah, they lost.
They did, yes.
That was someone's like, well, the Steelers wouldn't have beat the Patriots, so this thing worked out. I laughed at the sentiment. I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they would have been able to beat the Patriots, but
yeah, the Patriots got upset at home, so that was a, I guess a. You know, it doesn't make me proud to say it, but that did warm my heart a little bit. I hate to, you know.
I am all about the grave dancing. It's the Patriots. Fuck them.
No, I mean, 100% I'm with you. I just, some part of me is like, probably should, you know, is it real, does this make you proud to, you know, get such pleasure from another team's misfortune.
It will wear off. You know, like, with the situation, I believe that the Patriots are, and I mean, all of these rumors about Brady's retirement the last couple of years and him and Belichick having problems, like, they're, you know, at some juncture, sports are just more for young people than they are for old people.
Playing them, certainly.
And especially when you're playing them at that kind of a level. That it's, no matter what you do to train your body, you're going to have to give up at some point at the highest level. Like, at some juncture, like, I believe Jaromir Jagr was playing until he was, hockey, until he was like 46 or something like that. And he's still playing overseas, but I mean, he played in the NHL until he was 46. Which wow. is just bonkers. And Brady, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is 42. So, I mean, he's kind of getting there age-wise where, you know, I guess I just... It obviously sounds like he takes great care of himself. You know, he has rarely been hurt. You know, I mean, the one... major injury that he had was someone landing on his knee. Like, you can't really blame him for planting his plant leg and having someone run into it and wreck his ACL. You know, that isn't one of those bad preparation injuries. And I mean, I think he's pretty much played through almost all the seasons. I mean, it's helped that he's had a good offensive line a vast majority of that time. So he hasn't been beat up as much as, you know, Roethlisberger has been over the seasons.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And,
Yeah, he's still 42.
Yeah.
And not getting any younger. You know, he can take as great a care of himself as he wants to, but, you know, just when someone's 20 years old, like, I mean, because that was the other crazy thing, like, that Devin Bush, his dad played against Tom Brady in the league. Like, that's how long Tom Brady has been in the league, that someone's son can play against him.
Wow. So the father played against him in the NFL, and then his son is now playing against him in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the point that you're at.
That's when you know you've had a long career.
Yeah.
Especially in football. Good Lord.
Yeah. That's the other reason why I'm fine with the grave dancing. I have given the Patriots a lot of credit. There are a lot of Steelers fans, including my older brother, who kind of dismiss all of their accomplishments. And I don't really think that that's correct. I am angry and think that they suck about it, but that is clearly the opposite since they were doing the winning.
I mean, you can't deny their success.
Yeah.
It's hard to, based on evidence. As unfortunate and disheartening as it is.
No. Yeah, and most of the stuff, most of the cheating stuff has, for the most part, been debunked, for the most part.
Well, I don't think we talked about it this year, actually, but there was another incident of that earlier in the season where they were caught filming the sidelines for the Cincinnati Bengals of all teams.
Like, yeah, that was the first joke that came across my mind when I saw that headline. I'm like, why the Bengals? Like, you don't need that. Like, of all teams.
I think somebody said that they had, like, a different coaching staff or something this year. So that could have been a reason why they were wanting to film them to get their signals.
They do have a new coaching staff because I believe he was the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, Zach Taylor, is the head coach there now in Cincinnati.
So that was the most plausible reason that I'd seen as far as why they might want to have been filming them, even though it is the Bengals.
Yeah, you still need some intel. Intel is intel.
But their reasoning didn't make any sense, really.
That they were filming for some, documentary-style thing.
A documentary.
The site.
About the advanced scouts, I think, is what they said.
Yes.
And they were filming the other team sideline, which that doesn't seem to check out as far as something you would do for that kind of documentary. It's not about the other team's coaching signals. That's not the documentary.
Yeah.
And they weren't even supposed to be there filming, I don't think.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is that you're really allowed to steal signals. You're just not allowed to film it.
That's true.
Yeah. That's kind of the funny thing about the whole... That's what's always kind of weird about the situation, is that you're actually allowed to kind of try and figure out what they're calling. But, yeah, you're just not allowed to, you know, use any type of technology to do it. Except for the Microsoft Surfaces that they have on the sidelines that everyone gets an instant report about.
Right.
Well, I mean, you really should be able to make adjustments way easier in games these days than it still seems. It still seems like halftime is a demarcation mark. Like, I guess I understand that it's easier to kind of get everyone on the same page, but you would think that you'd still be able to communicate that to everyone without having to be in a locker room with everything that they have on the sidelines these days.
Yeah, you would think, like, there's coaches up in the booth who are seeing everything and kind of, like, using those tablets to communicate with the players down below. You would think you'd be able to kind of go over a lot of different stuff that way. But I don't know. Maybe... Yeah, you're right, though. For some reason, going in halftime still seems to be a thing.
Halftime adjust... And I mean... I thought that the Steelers, well, at least the defense, always seemed to do a good job of kind of adjusting to things at halftime this past year. And that was not always the case.
I guess sometimes you do see coaches, like, huddling players or something and during a game and kind of, like, delivering a talk or, you know.
Oh.
But it's really not that often. Normally, it's like they're just kind of focused on what's happening on the field.
Oh.
So maybe that's a different thing, too. The coaches can, like, fully concentrate on, just telling the players what's been going on and, what kind of adjustments to make and things. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
Yeah, there's got to be some type of a reason, I would imagine, or else that would still not be a thing.
Yeah. It's, an interesting part of football, I guess.
Adjustments. Yeah, and I mean, I guess that goes for any kind of sport where the intermissions do seem to be the best time to maybe change tactics and try something different.
Yeah. I was going to say bowling, maybe not, but then again, I had to think about it, and there are, like, different oil patterns that you can kind of face, and, you know, your strategy could change a little bit from lane to lane. So I'm not going to make that argument with you, Kevin. I will not quibble with you. Your strategy can change at halftime.
Yeah.
No matter what sport you're playing. Even bowling.
Oh, man. Well, I feel like we've skirted around the whole... I guess we kind of said it after they got their eighth win. And I felt like we were a curse to the Steelers. We said that we were content with the season. That's where it ended up. Was it 8 victories?
Yeah.
Are you still content after 3 games of getting to marinate in that 8-8 season again?
I'd say it is less of a sort of good feeling than it was before, but in a way, I feel like I saw kind of where things were going somehow. And thinking, and it sort of like pegged in my mind like how I was thinking at that time. And, you know, I can remember back, I guess, what I'm saying is like how I felt at that time. And objectively, I would say that that means that the season was, you know, satisfying. Right now, I'm not feeling particularly satisfied. But I can remember having felt satisfied, so...
Yeah, I will admit that it's... I really thought that they would at least get that win against the Jets. Yeah. Like, if they had lost... Because Buffalo looks like a pretty good team. So I don't think there was any shame in taking that L. And the Ravens, I did not realize that they also had a good defense to go with the potent offense. I felt like their defense was not as good. Well, it's not as good as their offense, quote unquote, but it was still like a top 10 in the NFL. So that at least says something about the situation. I mean, they seem to be sitting pretty, unfortunately. Like, I want those words to come out of my mouth about as much as complimenting the Patriots, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Ravens are a pretty good team this year.
Yeah, so they, you know, them taking the loss there, I did not, unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, I really did not get to watch a whole lot. I did not watch the second half of that game. So I don't know. I did end up hearing that there were a couple of more turnovers by the Steelers. That certainly seemed to be a problem. And that is the one thing that's kind of funny about Roethlisberger possibly coming back, is that he really did not usually help that situation for turnovers.
Right.
He has had a number of seasons with a few too many interceptions. I do think that if maybe they kind of dial back the number of passes a little bit, it could help him throw less interceptions. So, you know, I guess that's something to keep our eye on. But, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, of course, I guess 11 in a season isn't too bad, considering that, you know, Duck probably had that many in, like, half a season. You know, as much as I did like the story, I do think that, you know, maybe there's still... Yeah, like, honestly, having Roethlisberger, Rudolph, Hodges, like, as a 1-2-3 at the quarterback position, like, I guess I wouldn't be worrying the rest of Big Ben's career.
Really? Because I'm not sure I feel, you know, at ease thinking about Rudolph or Hodges playing quarterback, since they both had some problems getting things started.
Consistently. Well, I'm not saying that they're the solution after Roethlisberger. I'm saying I'm okay with them as backups. There, to me, is a big exception, or a big difference between those two things. Because, Rudolph, there's a possibility that he could be it, but... I'm not exactly feeling great about saying that either.
No.
You know, like, my confidence meter in that is probably in the 30s somewhere out of 100.
That may be generous. He just has not shown really much of a spark this year, I feel like. Like, he has not really... Has he thrown any deep balls? Very few.
Maybe. Yeah, he did throw one in that Jets game before he got injured.
Well.
And that's why I guess it'd be kind of interesting. I don't know if maybe he learned his lessons, that he kind of needs to let it roll a little bit more, like the Duckster does.
Well, I mean, like you said, he does seem to have a better arm strength, but if you're not going to throw the ball, it doesn't really matter how strong your arm is.
I agree. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think he had enough time to kind of prove that false, I suppose. And I'm not on for a long audition from him at any point. But, you know, if he ends up having to make a cameo behind Ben Roethlisberger and he still can't throw deep, I'm definitely hoping that they... And, I mean, it's not like they need to draft a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
I mean, unless
if
you think that...
If one popped up, I guess I wouldn't necessarily... not draft a quarterback this year. I'm not sure that Roethlisberger is going to be super effective again. I don't know. Maybe I'm pessimistic, but...
I guess I have a little more faith in Big Ben to come back. I guess there could be some cause for concern. But it does seem like you're better off honestly going with a first-round quarterback, if possible. And the Steelers do not have a number one pick this year.
Correct.
So I'm not sure that there are going to be a lot of good options by the time the Steelers get around to picking this coming year. And I really doubt that they'll pick up a quarterback.
Yeah.
At least from the reporting that I've read, I feel like the Steelers themselves are okay with Rudolph and Hodges as backups, you know, 1 and 2.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially since they're both, second year and first year. So, I mean, their contracts, I'm sure, are quite cheap, which is probably just fine by them, too.
I would imagine that doesn't hurt. Yeah. It's been a rough year, so I guess we'll see what happens.
That was kind of a...
One other thing is that, in a sense, I think it would make sense for the Brady to come to the Steelers just because of all the Steelers players who ended up kind of switching over to the Patriots after their time in Pittsburgh. It would be a sort of a poetic justice in a way.
Oh, speaking of poetic justice, did you see any of that Titans at Patriots game?
I did see probably through the first half.
Did you see... Oh, okay, so you didn't see in the second half when Mike Vrabel decided to take multiple penalties to waste time on the clock?
No.
It was the most Belichickian thing to do against Bill Belichick that I had ever seen. He let the clock run down and then had a delay game. And then after that, for the next play, because I think that they declined, I think the Patriots declined the penalty, they decided to like purposefully false start so that they could get the 5 yards back again that they wanted, so that the punter had a better, like, better angle to punt it in. And it ended up wasting like a minute off of the clock, all of these different procedural penalties.
Were they like winding time off the clock for any of the
penalties? No, they had to restart the clock for one reason or another.
Okay. Wow.
And I can't remember what it was, but yeah, like he basically ate like a minute off the clock by doing these shenanigans to give the Patriots less time. And I was like, oh my god, I love seeing this happen.
Yeah, that is good though. It, I can't deny the feeling.
Yeah, and he is actually, years. And you were talking about that, what's his, the Titans coach, Mike Vrabel. He was one of those guys that, you know, drafted by the Steelers, played for the Steelers for the first 4 years, went to the Patriots, and he's definitely a Patriot. No one really remember. Only Steelers fans remember that he was a Steeler.
Yeah. Weird. Also, James Harrison, of course.
Oh, well, yeah, that was a later in the career one.
This would be more of a, along the Tom Brady way is what I was thinking.
Well, I guess you can definitely put Antonio Brown on that list.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, he did score a touchdown in a Patriots uniform, so, I mean, he definitely counts.
Yeah, it's in the books. I mean, if Brady came to play for Pittsburgh and then, like, flamed out after a week, that would be surprising. But, you know, I guess that would truly mirror the experience there.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny to have that happen.
But you know what else was kind of funny, Kevin? This article you shared about a glitch in the
WWE 2K20.
Yes.
Which made it unplayable in 2020.
A wrestling video game that, for whatever reason, glitches out when the year is 2020, and
despite it being named 2020.
You know, as a also a software developer myself, part of me does feel for these developers, because that's not something you would necessarily think to check, even if your game is called 2020. Like, you probably wouldn't think to, like, change your game settings time to 2020 just to test to make sure it's still going to work.
Yeah, because that's why it was funny when they mentioned that it was a Y2K bug-like thing. Because I remember everyone freaking out about that. Like, oh my god, all the computers in the world are going to shut down. They're not going to know what to do when it's just 2000 on their computers. And I'm like, why would that happen? Like, it's just the next number in a sequence. Like, why? And I guess that's why it's still weird that this happened. I'm like, it's just the next number in the sequence. Like, why is it confusing to a computer that, you know, you just add one and it's the next number?
They have to be doing something sloppy, because that's the other side of it, too. It's like, I don't understand. There's, maybe they're not allowed to use them, but there's, like, libraries, you know, and out there that will handle dates for you and stuff. Like, it's not like you have to do things from the ground up, you know. I just don't understand that part of it. Like, what were they doing internally there to make this be a problem? Because, yeah, it's not like, you know, at some point we're going to reach a, like, there's a thing called the Unix time stamp, which is like every second since January 1st, 1970, it's a new timestamp for the Unix timestamp. So, like, computers today use that for keeping track of time.
Uh-huh.
At some point, that number's going to get too big, and it's going to, like, overflow, like, the storage that is, like, set aside for storing these Unix timestamps.
And so
when that happens, it's going to cause, like, some kind of overflow problem with a lot of these legacy systems out there. But there's nothing like that that's happening with, you know, turning to 2020. Like, that seems like a very solved problem.
So, oh, yeah.
This isn't, like, some underlying, you know, nothing that I'm aware of. Or you know, and there's no stories about this happening anywhere else. This should just be a very
yeah,
easy thing to deal with.
Rockstar hasn't reported mass complaints about any of their games not working just because it turned to 2020. It definitely made it an OPA topic when it was about a WWE game.
And just to go on a slight tangent here, Kevin, do you happen to remember the old Nintendo wrestling game?
Pro wrestling, do you mean?
Is that what it was? Yeah, I couldn't recall.
I believe that's what it was called.
There was a guy with a mask of a star on his face, I think. Starman, was that it?
Yeah, Starman.
Some other wrestlers. That was a fun game, I would say. And I would wager that it's still going to work even in 2020. Considering I don't think you could even store the time and date on your Nintendo Entertainment System. The Nintendo was blissfully unaware of what the actual outside world was doing. It seems quaint in a way.
Consoles we have. Pro today. Wrestling, baby.
Oh yeah, what were the wrestlers on that one? Roster.
Oh.
Fighter Hayabusa from Japan. Giant Panther from US. Kin Korn Karn from Korea. King Slender, USA. Starman, Mexico. That's the guy I remember for some reason. And the Amazon from Parts Unknown.
Yeah, I did not realize that Starman was from Mexico.
I think it kind of makes sense with, like, a Lucha Libre kind of tradition there with him wearing his mask.
And I feel like I like to use Fighter Hayabusa now that I'm seeing this list of fighters. I think I use Fighter Hayabusa and Starman the most. That is what my memory is recalling at the current moment.
I don't know. Is the Amazon, was he like a Swamp Man kind of, or a creature from a Black Lagoon looking?
I don't know. It is kind of ironic that they are showing Fighter Hayabusa and Starman in a matchup in the lone picture that they have in this Wikipedia entry.
Well, they may have been the top billed wrestlers in that promotion. I don't remember. They were. Was that from the pay per view? Is that what the screenshot was?
Oh, look at that!
A winner is you. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be the guy with the Amazon. Gills. Got to be Amazon.
Oh, that's a cool shirt there.
Oh yeah, Starman shirt. Yeah, I don't know. You might get that for Christmas sometime. Oh, look at Fighter Hayabusa. 6'2", 230. Yeah, the back brain kick. I always remember him stealing News Brown's Ghetto Blaster. I was always... Oh, man, this is a full roster look.
A lot of great resources here on the internet.
Oh, Giant Panther. Okay, yeah, I definitely remember all these guys now.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Yeah.
Everybody had their own, like, moves that you could, learn how to pull them off. There's a lot that they fit into that game for being on the old Nintendo. 8-bit system, if you can believe it. Was that 8-bit or 16-bit? Now I feel like an idiot.
I feel like it's 16-bit.
All right, I think it was 8-bit.
Maybe it's 8.
But there's no way to know for sure.
I can probably just link to it here at some point. Nintendo Entertainment Center. Or system. 8-bit.
Okay. Woo. Got my nerd cred.
intact still. Yes. Yeah, I should have thought that Genghis Khan could not be a 16-bit game.
That was another one that... There was a lot going on in that game that they managed to pack into one of those ROMs somehow to make it work on the Nintendo.
Yeah.
But it was kind of interesting, those, because they were like circuits that they plugged into the system, some games they were able to like add in like extra memory right into the game cartridge. So you actually were like... upgrading your Nintendo, basically, when you plugged in the cartridge.
Oh,
so you're able. That's how they were able to like kind of cram more things into later games.
I did not realize that.
I didn't realize it at the time either, but
interesting.
In the years since, I've learned, Kevin. And that is kind of cool. Not something you would have, you know, with like a CD-ROM based game. Sure.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Okie doke. Well, I think we will wrap things up, Ken, with the usual here. Bell time beer. And I've got to admit that maybe because it was out of sight, it was a little bit out of mind. And it really shouldn't have been. But old neighbor Fred, for one occasion or another, got me this Flying Monkeys Craft Brewery, the Chocolate Manifesto, Triple Chocolate Milk Stout.
Woo!
And it is 10% alcohol. It is very chocolatey.
And they do not shy from letting you know that there's chocolate in there, just based on the title alone.
No, and the wife has started drinking a lot of these high-octane stouts, and there is a smoothness to Imperial stouts that I find even creamier than just a regular milk stout. Like, it really just kind of amps up the creaminess to me, and it makes it really easy to drink them. So this one, now that, it's just all chocolate. Like, it's not chocolate peanut butter, thank God. I don't really want peanut butter in my beer. Like, chocolate, I guess, is okay. Like, there are some things that I guess I still think are kind of weird that kind of get into beer. Like, I understand the fruit stuff, especially in sours and things of that nature. And the chocolate with dark beers goes really well. Even milk,
coffee,
like they just kind of seem like natural complements to each other. The peanut butter thing seems a little forced to me.
There actually is peanut butter beer? I thought you were joking.
Oh, yeah, they're chocolate peanut butter beers.
Oh, my goodness.
Sweet Baby, is it Duclos Sweet Baby Jesus? Is peanut butter porter.
I've even had that. Yeah. Okay. I should have remembered.
Yeah.
That's still surprising to me to hear. Even though I drank the beer, it's surprising.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I like this one a bit better than that one that we were talking about. So, yeah, I believe someone got this, Fred got this for me from one of the local beer purveyors. I do not believe they are a local beer. And I'm trying to look, imported from Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, so, you know, this is definitely a beer that some of the listeners can go out and find on their own. Since it is not from our country, I'm sure that it is elsewhere being distributed for purchase.
The Great White North.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unlike the beer that you had, because this one, a little more local.
Yeah, the one I had was from Seventh Son Brewery, Fox in the... Oh, what was it called?
Stout.
Fox in the Stout, that's right. It was a 9.7% alcohol. And it was a stout, and it was good. I don't know. I feel like stouts are due for a, to break on the scene and popularity. You know, IPAs have had their reign for a while here. Maybe stouts can overtake them in popularity. As the trendy new beer.
I will admit to having a lot of the trendy beer on my Columbus beer list. That's the only one. I've compiled my Columbus and my travel beer list. Well, honestly, and even my neither here nor there beer list. I've only started to write the Columbus one, though, currently. But a lot of hazy IPAs. That has definitely been all the rage here recently. I do find them quite refreshing and quite tasty.
You're saying that they are kind of more popular than the New England IPAs, which seemed like they were
there
for a little while.
They're the same thing. Oh, hazy slash New England.
Gotcha.
They're kind of... Hey, and honestly, I'd even throw in a milkshake IPA as being kind of part of that family of IPAs. Now, I mean, there is milk in that, which does make it gives it a different kind of viscosity to it and a different sweetness, which I always think that the milk pairs very well with the dark beers.
Huh. I've never tried one of those, but I do like milkshakes, so that does sound intriguing.
The couple of definite milkshake IPAs I've had have been pretty tasty. But like I said, I do kind of think that they're on their own little branch of the IPA family. At this point, those kind of like four beers. Because I do think that there are some kind of little technical differences between all of them. Well, definitely with the milkshake, obviously, and I do think that there's a little bit of a difference between hazy and New England if you get picky.
Well, three closely related beers, at least.
Hey, yeah. They are, like I said, they're definitely on the same branch. But yeah, they're the trendiness. I do hope that, because there are a lot of places where the wife doesn't like to go because there are just no dark options. Like, she's not usually a regular stout person, but she will at least maybe come in the door if you offer a stout. Or it is kind of funny, if she goes light, she does kind of like porters almost more than a regular stout. Although she's pretty wishy-washy on the porters, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like she likes some of those more.
Those are also related closely to me, in my mind, at least.
Yeah.
Porters and stouts. But, I think our first podcast of the new year has been a success here, Kevin.
We had to do a Steelers post-mortem, unfortunately. We will have to go back to getting real topics, unless you are ready to dive in neck deep into hockey like I am currently, and I could probably talk about the Penguins for this amount of time too.
I'm not sure if I could really do that justice in any way.
It may get brought up in later OPAs when the playoff season is upon us, and maybe just as a bit segment, since I would have to carry that one. Yeah, I guess I'll forewarn people now that the Steelers territory has been dipped into. I think maybe Penguins during the playoffs might be, and it does kind of help, I guess, that for the most part we've moved recording a day earlier, and Tuesday, Thursday, very popular game days for the NHL. So Wednesdays, I think, will kind of aid and abed me. Although in the playoffs, Lord only knows, you might get you. There are Wednesday games sometimes. So,
well, we're gonna have to, as they say, burn that bridge when we come to it, Kevin.
Yep.
So Wednesdays are working out pretty good for now.
Yep. So for at Gozer 3, I'm at Frango 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
See ya.